Welcome to Sports Beat KC, the Kansas City Star Sports podcast presented by First Federal Bank. It's Friday, August 12th, and I'm Blair Kirkhoff. Finally, a football game. The Chiefs open the preseason on Saturday at the Chicago Bears, and we get to see Patrick Mahomes and company play outside of training camp for the first time. That means we'll get a first look at the draft class in action. There were 10 of them, and several expect to play with the first and second teams. Among the veterans, there'll be familiar faces like Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and newcomers like Juju Smith-Schuster and Justin Reed. On today's show, beat writers Herbie Teope and Jesse Newell identify one or two players by position group that they plan on keeping a close watch on. It could be an established starter, a rookie, it could be a position battle, or someone we think is playing his way onto the roster. It was a fun exercise. Let's get started.
Hello from sunny St. Joe Mo in the campus of Missouri Western State University. Welcome to Sports Beat Live, presented by First Federal Bank. This is the show where we talk Chiefs with you. We're here at training camp, and please send us questions and comments as we prepare for the Chiefs preseason opener on Saturday. Think of this as the pregame show. It's the first pregame show of the season. Chiefs against the Chicago Bears at noon. And we do that with the folks in the media who know them best, and that is star beat writers Herbie Teope, who's been humming Pearl Jam music for the last half hour or so, and Jesse Newell, who continues to square up in the great outdoors on the campus of Missouri Western State. So, guys, long practice today, a little longer than we expected when the day started, but nice little prize, couple little prizes, actually, at the end of practice today. Of course, it is Zarda Day, and that is always big at training camp. Jesse, I know it's your first one. Herbie, you're a training camp veteran, as am I. It's always a happy day when the Zarda truck arrives.
It's actually a happy day in advance, too, because you start marking your calendar and start sending text messages out to everyone. Hey, Zarda's Day is on X. Make sure you bring some Tupperware if you have any. But, yeah, Zarda's Day is always great to have.
Yeah. And as a little bonus for us, we got to hang out with Jack today, one of our good friends. Jesse, I'm sorry we didn't bring you downstairs to meet Jack. Jack's one of our loyal followers in our audience, lives in Leavenworth, and we just certainly enjoyed Jack's company and his family. It was great to see him today. But, Jack, hope you're watching. All right, last practice before the game on Saturday. I think everybody who follows the Chiefs is ready for some action, ready to see the Chiefs hit somebody other than themselves here at training camp, and we'll see it against the Bears. And I thought today we would do a couple of things, but and we'll get to this one in a minute, but I thought we would run down the position groups and identify a player that we want to keep an eye on. Somebody who is of interest, may not be a starter, maybe somebody battling for a position, but we'll go down the position groups on offense and defense, and we'll come up with a player who has an interesting narrative or storyline going into the game. But first, Herbie, why don't you just take us through, no injuries to speak of, but tell us about the cuts. When do the NFL require teams to start making cuts, and how many do they cut? Just take us through that process.
Yeah, you'll have exactly three cuts immediately after Saturday's first preseason game. Although I will be remiss if I don't mention that Jody Fortune returned to practice today in full pads, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, so Tuesday, they have to be from 90 to 85. And then on August the 23rd, they have to go from 85 to 80. And to cap it all off, the big roster cut or roster trimmings. They have to be to the 53 initial 53-man roster for the regular season on August the 30th. So you've got three preseason games here where the coaches are really going to be watching what these players are able to do in live action. So as Eric Bieniemy loves to say, they have to see consistent behavior on tape.
We all strive for consistent behavior on tape and off tape as well. But you're right. That is That's a little, kind of a little motivator for the players, right? Even though you may not make this team, other teams are watching. And when you're a team as consistently good as the Chiefs, other teams know that the Chiefs have good players that they're not going to be able to keep. So we've seen it over the years now. Players that are cut by the Chiefs absolutely end up on other teams. Jesse, you had the camp observations today. Anything stand out in a small way?
Not too much. I will say that Brian's comments stand out so far. I want to see how many Pearl Jam references he can shove into the comments. One for one, because, you know, we really wouldn't call Herbie a better man if there wasn't some sort of reference well to Pearl Jam or something like that. But no, it was I think it was a pretty standard day. I think, once again, it's kind of one of those moments where we're starting to see things happen over and over again. And it makes you wonder about certain people's positions with the team. And I don't want to scoop ourselves here, Blair, but once again, the running backs, you saw the order of it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco, Ronald Jones. So that's one of those where it just keeps happening and it has happened consistently. And so you're wondering about Ronald Jones's place on this roster and potentially what they might need to see from him in the preseason to potentially keep him on the roster and move forward with him on the team. Because Isaiah Pacheco has been one of those guys in camp that has impressed, been one of the standouts, and almost every national media member that passes through here in St. Joe seems to send out a tweet talking about how impressive Isaiah Pacheco has been or how much he's impressing coaches. But that's the thing about these games, and Herbie knows this. He could probably rattle off 5, 10, 15 Chiefs names in the past where guys have gotten to this point of the schedule, looked great, sounded amazing, coaches like them, GMs like them, but then you go in the preseason game when the lights come on, when it's in front of fans, and they start to disappear. So Isaiah Pacheco, Ronald Jones, I think that's a major one that you're going to have to watch here, because Ronald Jones is a guy with contact in game settings that's going to look better than he does in some of these 7-on-7 drills, because he's not really a pass catcher. On the other side of it, Isaiah Pacheco, you heard Patrick Mahomes even say this today. Like, he fits the part. Physically, he's big. He's very fast. But can he make the cuts? Does he have the vision to be a really good running back? So that'll definitely be one of the big things to watch here on Saturday in this first exhibition game against the Bills – or against the Bears, I'm sorry.
You mentioned Jerick McKinnon. That's Jerick McKinnon with one R in his first name. If you happen to read it, if your story in the Star with two R's, please know that the writer of that story knows that it's with one R. So thank you for the edit, Jesse Newell, on that. Okay. Hey, Jack asks how the barbecue was. I think you get a big three thumbs up here. The specialty today was the burnt ends. Oh, my goodness. burnt ends. Kansas City's wonderful contribution to the barbecue world, the burnt end. And Zarda emphasized that today. So, all right. Let's start this exercise, and we'll start with the offense. And I guess as a way to get into it, Herbie, tell us what Andy Reid said about playing time distribution on Saturday.
Hey, he gave the obligatory, we have four quarterbacks, and each quarterback will see an action in four quarters. So, you know, apparently Mahomes is going to play the entire first quarter, then the Chad Henne, Shane Buechel, and then Dustin Crum. Look, here's the deal. When you go back and look at Mahomes' playing time in the preseason going all the way back to 2018, he's averaging 7 snaps per preseason action. Last year, he only played 4. Obviously, there were no preseason action in 2020 because of COVID-19. He played 8 in 2019 and 9 in 2018. So you average that out, that's 7 snaps. If he goes beyond 2 offensive series on Saturday, I will be absolutely floored. I think what you're going to end up seeing is one series, and if it's smooth, there's not a 3-and-out, he's going to give way to Chad Henne, and then it'll just trickle on down.
You know, I was also looking at some of the stats from previous preseasons, and something I noticed was Mahomes in 2018, his first year as a starter, and in 2019, coming off that first year, the Chiefs were not great in the preseason with him. They didn't score on every possession, and it almost made you wonder what was going on offensively. And then the regular season came, and if you remember how the 2018 regular season started, they scored touchdowns on damn near every possession against the Chargers, the Steelers, the 49ers to open the season. And then the next year, after another sort of lukewarm preseason, they go to Jacksonville and hang 40 on the Jaguars. That's the game where Sammy Watkins caught 3 touchdown passes. So I would caution anybody watching the Chiefs that if things look a little, you know, sluggish or inefficient, the Chiefs don't get into the end zone on every Mahomes started possession, don't worry. They've got some things to work out here with some of the newcomers, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But that's why I think, I don't think it's we're not going to take starters for each of these positions. But for me, watching Mahomes on Saturday and how he works with newcomers, especially at wide receiver, is most interesting to me from that position. How about you, Jesse?
Let me just toss one thing in here real quick.
Sure.
Based on what you just said, Blair, and because it's also important to remember that teams do not game plan for the preseason. This is going to be a very scaled back 15 plays, get it in there, get it out there. So it's when you mentioned don't read too much into it, you're absolutely right, because there's no game planning involved here.
Yeah, I think the quarterbacks might be the most boring position, honestly, just because Mahomes can get seven plays, you know, and you're going to take from those seven, and then after that, we figure Chad Henne's the backup, and the other two guys are probably not making the team. So we can get to the other positions. But, yes, Mahomes is the story so far, to see how he works with some of these other weapons and to see if he can get through his progressions and complete some balls to guys like MVS and Juju. But, again, super small sample. So if he finishes the game 1-for-3, then we really won't be seeing too much.
And I also think that when it's all said and done, the Chiefs are just going to keep Mahomes and Henne on the 53. It won't be three. Okay. Let's do it. Jesse, you already cracked this egg open a little bit with running back. It's really become an interesting position for the Chiefs. Think about it this way, right? There are five running back candidates plus the fullback, Michael Burton. Chiefs are only going to keep three running backs and Burton. So two of the five not going to be with the team. And it's just interesting how it's played out. Andy Reid was asked specifically about Ronald Jones today and said that, look, sometimes he's up, sometimes he's down. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he's kind of down now, isn't he, Jesse?
Well, that's at least at the moment. And again, I think this is a setting where Ronald Jones can really shine. I mean, this is where the pads are on. He can make one cut and go. He can show his physicality. He's going to be a first or second down back. He's not really good in pass protection. He's not good catching the football, but these are the sorts of settings where he can kind of go out there and get these reps, and he should have plenty of them, honestly, because if he's down with a third and fourth string, you know, you got to play out that in the third and fourth quarter as well if you're following Andy Reid's script. So watching him, but I would say maybe more than anybody else, I know we'll get to receiver here in a second, but Isaiah Pacheco might be the number one intrigue factor because of just what we talked about before. Patrick Mahomes has seen the speed, he's seen the power, he's seen what he's been able to do physically, but does he have the vision and does he have the cutting ability, the maneuverability, to break some tackles that you need your running backs to have? That's going to be a big question, and I think we'll get at least some answers from that with Pacheco going against the Bears here Saturday.
Herbie, what should we look at running back?
It's all about Pacheco and Jones. You know, I know Jesse loves Ronald Jones, but I just cannot see how he's going to fit into this roster if the Chiefs decide to keep three. In my mind, the clear top three, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, and Isaiah Pacheco. And I give Pacheco the nod here simply because he's got one of Andy Reid's staff members, you know, fully in his corner in Dave Tobe. And when Uncle Dave likes you for special teams, you know, that kind of gives you a nod over a lot of other players. And Pacheco is listed number one right now as their kick return. And Tobe said, yeah, he's going to get the first shot at it. So he can contribute more to the team than just out of the backfield.
Let's be honest. Another staff member on the Chiefs that likes Pacheco is Brett Veach, who drafted him. So it doesn't really hurt the Chiefs if your seventh round draft pick turns out to be a really good running back.
All right. Wide receiver is a position where the Chiefs are replacing their number 1, 5, and 6 pass catchers in terms of just number of receptions from last year in Tyreek Hill, Byron Pringle, and DeMarcus Robinson. They're replacing them with Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and of course the rookie Sky Moore to go along with Mecole Hardman, Justin Watson, Darius Fountain, among others. Let's start, Herbie, with the idea of the Chiefs keeping 5 or 6 of these, and who's at the bottom of the list?
I'm going to say they're keeping 6. You mentioned the top 4 there. I'm going to say 5 and 6 of Darius Fountain and Justin Watson, simply because they can play special teams. And again, it goes back to Dave Tobe. When you go back to Dave Tobe's press conference last week, and when Tobe is mentioning you by name at the podium, that's usually a good sign. And he mentioned Justin Watson and Darius Fountain because you have to replace two of core special teamers from last year, Byron Pringle and Marcus Kemp, and here's your opportunity to do it with Fountain and Watson.
What do you think, Jesse? Follow up on that, and also, who will be Patrick Mahomes? Will we begin to see who Patrick Mahomes' favorite target will be among the wide receivers?
I think we've already seen that in camp. It's Juju, at least at this point. I mean, he's on a really good comfort level with him and has talked to us about how he kind of sees him a little bit like Kelce, where he can run different routes over the middle and you could trust his hands and then be a big target in there. So I think that's probably already settled. To me, receiver, the guy you're watching is Sky Moore. I mean, again, rookie, hasn't done it in a preseason game yet. We'll see how the nerves are. We'll see if some of the explosiveness off the line of scrimmage that he's shown in camp so far translates against guys that are trying to jab him and stop him and, you know, hold him up at the line. So this is the Sky Moore show. I would say Sky Moore and Isaiah Pacheco are the two I'm probably watching most in this particular game just because they're rookies. They're going to be playing a lot, and the Chiefs could expect a lot of them this season based off of how they perform in these preseason games. So sometimes these guys like Mahomes, you know, you're like, hey, you're not going to really learn that much. I think with Sky Moore and Pacheco, we can learn a whole lot with them when we watch this game on Saturday.
I want to see if we see Sky Moore line up in the backfield in one of these preseason games, the way we did Tyreek Hill early in his career. All right, Jesse, I think you and I can make short thrift to the tight end position. Kelce, Bell, Gray, that's it. And then we can just move on. There's no reason to discuss any more players, any more candidates. I think the Chiefs will just keep those three and go from there. Herbie, you disagree?
Hey, I think they like the idea of running a 14 personnel package, the T-Rex that they unveiled last year. And of course, the fourth component of that is Jody Fortson. Now, look, he's got a lot to make up here. He missed 8 straight days of practice with a quad injury, but he's coming back at the right time because we're going to find out how much they're going to ease him in, if he's going to see any action whatsoever against the Bears. That remains to be seen, but at least he's back now healthy. And he could play more with the last two preseason games. But he's going to make it tough. You know, they like him. They clearly like him. Well, you know, I like him. Members of the Chiefs media corps like him. So, yeah, I think they keep 4.
Fortune has been good. He's been very good. He made a great catch today. Was it today that I think he made a great catch? So, yeah. But Jesse, Noah Gray getting a lot of love from the coaching staff.
A lot of love from Red Beach, too. They're really impressed with his offseason, and he stepped in and when Fortune went out and took a lot of those reps, and he's actually developed some rapport with Patrick Mahomes as well. In fact, if you asked me, like in the last week or so, behind Kelce and behind Juju Smith-Schuster, who would be third, I'd probably say Noah Gray, the connection that's been between those two here in recent days. So, yeah, he's stepped up this year, and I definitely think he's making the team and that they have high expectations for him. This is kind of a prove-it year for him, and it seems to be going well so far.
Okay, let's finish up the offense with the offensive line. And obviously we know the 5 starters, but Orlando Brown Jr., Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Andrew Wiley. But I'm at a little bit of a loss after that. You guys have been to every one of these workouts. I've missed a couple. So I'm really leaning on you all to give me an idea of, first of all, how many are they going to keep? Is it going to be 9, 8, 9, 10 offensive linemen total? And what makes most sense as the top reserves? Herbie, why don't you start it off?
To answer your first question there, if they follow the same MO they've done over the past 2 seasons, they'll keep 10 offensive linemen. Don't forget with the way the rules are now, you can have up to 8 offensive linemen active on game day you can have more than the 48 players as 43. Sorry, I'm screwing up my numbers here. As long as 8 of them are offensive linemen. So the 5 you mentioned there, I think Nick Allegretti is in there. I think Austin Ryder is in there. So that's going to leave 3. And you're going to need guys who are versatile to play inside and also your swing tackles. And that's where the battle is going to be for the rest of these preseason games. And I think the guys to watch for me is Prince Tagovailoa, Darian Kennard, Jaron Christian, and Roderick Johnson. Those are the guys who are all buying for that all-important swing tackle position.
What do you think, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, they've got some different ways they can go with this. They'll probably settle later in camp, but Roderick Johnson was a swing tackle for a long time, a long period. But then lately, we've seen Jaron Christian get a lot of the first-team right tackle snaps, or at least rotation first-team right tackle snaps when they don't have, Andrew Wiley in there. So it seems like they're probably hiring him lately. But again, It's sort of hard to tell at this point, but Allegretti seems like a lock. Austin Ryder is kind of a question mark because Allegretti can play some center if you need him to, but if you want a backup center, Austin Ryder makes a lot of sense. And the one I'm going to watch this on Saturday, again, I know it's going to be a lot of rookies for a good reason, but Darian Kennard is the one. In terms of rookies and how they performed at training camp, I think so far he's been the one that's been the lowest, has been the guy that has not stood out so far, and we saw him a lot today with the threes. So I'm not saying necessarily he's on the cut line, but if he doesn't show something in these preseason games and you're looking at like, hey, do they love Roderick Johnson and Jaren Christian? If that's the case, then potentially it sets up a battle at tackle for you know, two of those three guys to make it. And it's not a guarantee, I would say, at this point that Darian Kennard is on the team, even though, again, he has the draft stock. He was taken by the Chiefs. They invested a pick in him, so that gives him a leg up a little bit, but still have to perform. So we'll see how he does in these next few games.
Yep, Kennard's number 75. Keep an eye on him on Saturday. Brian asks, Herbie, I'll let you take this one. Is Mike Caliendo worth watching? I hope I'm pronouncing Caliendo's name correctly.
He's been working a lot with the backup. So, of course, you're going to see a lot of him when the starters get out there, off the field, and also maybe even when the twos come off the field, because he's been working a lot with the Shane Bouchels and the Dustin Crumbs. You know, I'm obviously talking about the backup quarterbacks. Is he worth watching? Absolutely. He's an interior offensive lineman, but if the Chiefs decide to keep Allegretti and you decide to keep Ryder, because don't forget, Ryder can also play guard. So you've got those versatile interior offensive linemen. I don't see where he fits on the active roster. Probably practice squad material if he clears through waivers.
And Nathan suggests Kennard to the practice squad. I guess that is a possibility as well. So, okay, let's take a break here. And when we come back, we'll run through the defense with linemen, linebackers, and defensive backs. But let's hear first from First Federal Bank.
When I bought my first home, I was searching for listings and negotiating all on my own. Now I'm back in the housing market, and I could not imagine doing that again. But then I found First Federal Bank of Kansas City's expert loan advisors at ffbkc.com. They were kind, knowledgeable, and available 24/7. My loan advisor answered my questions and helped me feel confident all the way through closing. I trust First Federal Bank because they understand banking is personal. Apply today for a home loan at ffbkc.com/homes. First Federal Bank of Kansas City. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Blair. There are several ways to access the Star Sports section. Let me tell you about a couple of them. There is Sports Pass. For $12.99 a month, you get unlimited digital access to all of the Star Sports content, including beat writing, columns, features, pretty much everything we write. The deal renews monthly until you tell us to cancel. For $159.99 a year, you get everything the Star has to offer digitally, including sports and the e-edition. Go to KansasCity.com and drop down to the bottom of the page where it says start a subscription for more information. Your support has never been more important. As always, thanks for reading and listening.
Back on SportsBeat Live from Chiefs Training Camp with Herbie Tiopi and Jesse Newell. We're talking about the players that we're going to pay the most attention to, hone in on, however you want to describe it. In the Chiefs preseason opener Saturday against the Chicago Bears, we just discussed the offense. Let's go to the defensive side, and later in camp, we'll get a little more specific when we break down ends and tackles, linebackers, and then safeties and corners. But just for today, we'll just take defensive linemen as a whole. So ends and tackles. What about it, Herbie? Who is who's on the spot? Who should we be paying attention to? What are you going to be looking for in the defensive line?
George Karloftis. So this guy, we've watched him out here in training camp. He's just a joy to watch. He's just a nonstop motor. And I cannot wait to see how that translates to game action, because now his teammates or his coaches aren't going to get mad at him if he hits the other player, because now he can go ahead and go do that. How much action he gets, though, that remains to be seen, because, you know, if he's working with the ones, they may pull him out of there when the ones come off. But I really cannot wait to watch this guy play in a live game.
What do you think, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm actually going to stray off of the rookies for one time and say Frank Clark. He might have limited snaps, but I'm just so interested to see how this new skinny Frank is going to perform. He's kind of been known for his power rush, and now he's in much better shape, looks great. But again, how is that going to work? Is it going to be good for him to have more speed, or is that going to be bad for him to have less power? So can he make a disruptive play in the limited time he's in there? I think that's something to watch. And then even a guy like Malik Herring, we've had a lot of heard a lot of buzz and been around a lot of buzz for him when he's come, you know, from OTAs even on. So he's a guy that needs to come in here and make some plays in the preseason. Obviously, the Chiefs, as Jordan's mentioning, they just signed Danny Shelton, former first-round pick for the interior defensive line. They seem to still be looking for solutions there. So some of those guys on the interior, it would be a good time to step up and make a couple plays to show that you deserve to be part of this team.
Shelton's not going to obviously going to play, but Carlos Dunlap will play. And, of course, he's, you know, the recent acquisition, part of the defensive end rotation now. And I think, you know, what little we have seen of him at training camp, it's been good. He's his size. He's a big guy, a good size player. And Jesse, I'm glad you mentioned Malik Herring. He's probably haven't talked enough about him, but he's a very interesting guy. A guy they were pretty high on a year ago, and I'll be interested to see if he plays the second or the third quarter. I suspect the third quarter, sometime in the second half, but also somebody to kind of keep track of on Saturday. And how about the linebackers? I think this has been an under the radar group. They flashed their athleticism here in training camp. Willie Gay in his third year, and Nick Bolton in his second, and I've been impressed with those two. They can't hit, you know, very limited hitting in training camp, but Jesse, it has been pretty impressive. Willie Gay has come up with a couple of interceptions and in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills. I'm kind of eager to see what this group does.
Yeah, I would say that for me in like 3 weeks, because those guys seem to have taken on leadership roles. You know, I think Pro Football Focus ranked the Chiefs linebackers top 5 or top 10. So, I mean, the Chiefs should feel good about that, especially if you're thinking about their nickel package when you're going to have Bolton and Gay on the field, and that's two of their top defensive players. I'd say for this game, to me, Leo Chanel, he's been mostly with the second team, kind of gotten a few first-team reps. But, again, it's another rookie. You see how he performs and you see how well he does when the pads come on in a real game against a different opponent when he can play with physicality. We've seen him in some of these drills when he's been able to hit and fill some run spots. He's been able to do that on run blitzes. So it'll be good to see him out there. And then also Elijah Lee, just because he's been running with the ones mostly, and can he hold on to that spot? He's mostly been known as a special teams player up to this point in his career, but we know Spagnuolo is not afraid to put a veteran out there if he trusts him, and that might be the spot for Elijah Lee, especially if Leo Chanel not developing as quickly as many people thought he might when he was a third-round draft pick for the Chiefs.
Okay, Herbie, I've got a name of a linebacker that Jesse didn't mention, but I want to see if you mentioned it. Who might you be keeping an eye on Saturday?
Probably Mike Rose. I want to see how Rose does. You also have to, because you got to remember, the Chiefs have to replace a lot of special teamers from last year. Ben Neiman is gone. Dorian O'Daniel is gone. So how can Rose fit into this piece? You know, the other interesting name is going to be Darius Harris, because he was another one of those guys last year who was on the practice squad and got called up a lot to fill in on special teams. Look, Mike Rose is a thumper, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year out of Iowa State, so he's certainly a guy to keep an eye on as well.
Yep, he was my guy. I was really happy when the Chiefs signed him on the day after the draft, or maybe the night of the draft. I can't remember exactly which, but this was a guy who was the Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12 as a junior. So, you know, he just hasn't made any kind of standout plays yet, at least that I've seen, but maybe he needs game action to do that. Okay, let's do the defensive backfield, and we'll wrap it up with safeties and cornerbacks, part of the Fab Five group that position coach Dave Aaron identified in the press tent the other day. I think there are a lot of the Fab Five that are worth watching and paying attention to and seeing if we've hyped them up, haven't we, Jesse? We've hyped up some of these guys, and then Dave Merritt hyped them up even more. What are we going to see on Saturday from this group, and who should we be paying attention to?
Everyone, basically everyone. No, I mean, really, you know, they have so many of these guys in the secondary that have they've been happy with in camp, but how are they going to look in the game setting? I would say number one would be Joshua Williams to me. I mean, if they can hit on another late round draft pick that turns into be a starter for them like they've been able to do in the past, that's a huge thing. Now, again, he probably won't be a starter now because Rashad Fenton is back. But to get some depth at that particular position, to have another guy you can go to and count upon, that would be a big thing for them. You know, McDuffie will be another one, obviously. Jalen Watson has been in with the first team some as well. I want to address the question at the bottom real quick with Juju about whether they would have an extension with him if he did well. It's kind of an interesting question that Paul does. I think if he does really well, he probably signs for a lot of money elsewhere. And if I think he does really poorly, the Chiefs probably don't re-sign him. So it's kind of like a weird in-between, right? Like for him to be with the Chiefs next year, they're probably not going to pay for huge for a receiver, but they also don't want to sign a guy if he gets hurt and doesn't produce. So I would say an extension is probably not likely with him. Same reasons that the Chiefs didn't end up signing Tyreek Hill to a long-term deal, just because with Patrick Mahomes, you're going to find creative ways to make it work. But I think that one's probably a long shot at this point. We'll see how everything plays out, but it's kind of an interesting scenario where if Juju does well, and I think the Chiefs play well, that's probably the best scenario, is that he plays well, the Chiefs do well, and the Juju moves on after the season.
To piggyback off of that, too, you also have to look at the contract structure. It's a one-year deal. So he's coming off of an injury-plagued year with the Steelers. So to me, when you see a one-year deal with a veteran like this, that's a prove-it deal. You sign it and prove it. You got 1 year to prove it to us that, you know. So he's in the contract year, and as Terrence Taylor used to always say, the contract year is undefeated.
He's been good so far. He's been the best wide receiver in training camp, as far as I'm concerned. All right, Herbie, you have a thought on the secondary for a lot of candidates here.
Yeah, and I do. And I'm gonna dig deeper because these are two guys unheralded who are like in the shadow of the Fab Five. DeCaprio Boodle, you know, from Nebraska. He's actually flashing out there. Every now and then you look up and you see number two making a pass breakup. The other guy I'm gonna look at here is Brandon Dandridge. I'm not saying Brandon Dandridge can make the 53, but he's certainly someone the Chiefs are probably going to keep an eye on. Hey, can we get this guy on our practice squad to continue developing him? Don't forget, 2 years in the CFL, you can't knock professional experience. And he had a couple of nice pass breakups today.
Of course, he is the Missouri Western product. To see if he can practice in some Missouri city outside of St. Joseph, that would be his goal. So I'm going to go with Brian Cook. I really have liked what I've seen from him. Another one of the rookies. I think we've covered just about every rookie in some fashion here. But I'm pretty excited about his prospects. When the Chiefs play three safeties in a dime, I think he has a chance to be a terrific player. All right. Great conversation, Herbie and Jesse. And again, Chiefs at Chicago Bears, noon kickoff on Channel 41. Saturday afternoon. We'll talk about it after the game, after I figure out when these guys' flights are taking off on Saturday. So we'll count on a conversation, post-game conversation, Chiefs and Bears on Saturday. Monty Davis, great producing again, as always. And thanks to our sponsor, First Federal Bank. We'll talk to you on Saturday.
That'll do it for today and this week on SportsBeat KC. Thanks to our production crew of Monty Davis, Randy Mason, Jeff Rosen, and Chris Fickett. A salute to our sponsor, First Federal Bank. Their website is ffbkc.com. And a tip of the cap to Herbie Teope and Jesse Newell for sharing their insights. I've said it before, and I'm saying it now. The Morning Sports Edition, available through kansascity.com, is the best sports page in the country. Go to liveedition.kansascity.com to see what I mean. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon with another SportsBeat KC.